T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McKelvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Writing for Brewers.com and MLB.com, and joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show is Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. Adam, couple of tough, hard-fought games in the last couple of days for the Milwaukee Brewers, but let's start out with the injury front. Is there any new timetable for when we might see a couple of these starters that are on the IL right now for the crew?
No, because they're not on the mound. If we're talking about Woodruff and Chacin, the kind of long-term guys, until they get on a mound, it's really hard to know a timetable for them. So that means it's weeks away. And, you know, I think maybe I said this yesterday to you guys, that the next couple of weeks seem to me to be about, can the pitching kind of bridge these next few weeks until September call-ups and until the return of Brandon Woodruff? And, you know, I'll put Jolly Chacin in there if he can figure out a way to pitch well. To get him back and get some good innings from him would be a big help. But over the next couple of weeks, they're going to have to get by with the guys that they have, because those two pitchers are still working their way back. The one who's close is Zach Davies. It looks like Monday in St. Louis for him, because they've got the rotation set for this weekend against the Nationals. And then they could bring back Gio, because he pitched, he was kind of in limbo about whether he was going to pitch against the Twins or wait to pitch in Washington. They used him against the Twins, so he can come back for that second game in St. Louis. So it looks like Davies will get back in. And look, he's another guy who pitched really well for them early. Then he had a stretch where he wasn't, you know, pitching very well at all. And he was talking about some mechanical things that he's intent on doing to, A, stay healthy, and, B, get back to the way he was performing early in the year. So I think it's this first one off the DL is kind of a big outing for him, because he has some ideas in mind to kind of get back on track.
Let's talk a little bit about Josh Hader, because he is the one that everybody is talking about at this point, yeah. Correct? Okay. So when we talk about Hader and his struggles as of late, he talks about the fact that, well, it's just not locating my pitches. And if I locate my pitches better, this won't be an issue. I won't give up as many home runs as I have. I was listening earlier today to MLB Radio, and they were talking about 89% of his first pitches to batters he faces. That's not the first batter he faces. Every batter, 89% of first pitches are four-seam fastballs at this point. 89%. Yep. And they were just saying, look, I mean, not saying that you, because you know a four-seam fastball is coming, that you can hit it, but it makes it a lot easier when you know that is coming at this point. And if he does miss on location, that's what's going to happen. Is there any concern that he's throwing that pitch maybe too much and becoming too predictable?
Well, look, I mean, that's the question. And they really, inside the clubhouse, say that it is not a problem of predictability. It is a problem of execution. Because I really believe what's being lost in this discussion, because he's given up a lot of home runs overall and a lot of home runs lately, is the fact that he is still the hardest guy to hit in the entire league, even after all this stuff. Now, I think I need to look, because when I looked yesterday, there's a Cardinals reliever who is 1/1000th of a point and has a lower batting average against. But otherwise, Hader is the hardest guy to hit in the National League. And I understand the home runs are killing him right now. And it's partly because just the role he's in, by nature, he's pitching in close games. The offense of this team is, you know, rolling, and they're playing a lot of close games, period. So every time he gives up a homer, it's in a situation that kills you. Well, I mean, that's kind of life as a closer. But I really believe that, you know, if you want Josh Hader to change, you're telling that the hardest guy to hit in the National League should make changes. And look, maybe that's true, but that's a little bit of a hard sell when you think of it that way.
Talking with Adam McKelvey here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know, and I agree with you, too. And I just think, too, I mean, if you look at the situation, he's just in a different spot, too, in a different situation this year than he was last year. Now, he's trying to do the best that he's trying to do, but I think eventually all this catches up with you. I mean, listen, last year Jeffries was a much better pitcher than he is this year. Knebel, I don't even think he really replaced him yet, and that just kind of put, I think, Hader in a tough spot.
Yeah, look, I mean, if they're paying, I think there is an argument to be made that they're paying the price for riding that bullpen to Game 7 of the NLCS last year. I don't blame them for doing that. I don't think they get that far if they try doing it another way. They were really good in large part because of those guys at the back end of their pen, and I would put in the second half in the postseason, Joaquin Soria was a really important part of that bullpen, and now he's gone. And you take away Corey Knebel, you put in sort of 75% of Jeremy Jeffress, and Josh Hader, who's been good, it's not as formidable a group as it was, and they're kind of asking the same thing from them.
Right.
And Craig Council says this. He knows they're asking a lot of these guys. But it's really hard in situations where, you know, you have an opportunity to win a game, you're in a contending situation, you look at the options that are available that they've been given in that bullpen. You know, it's yesterday they won a game without using Josh Hader. I think most days they're going to want to use Josh Hader in that spot. And it's a difficult position to be in when you have one guy that you can really count on. And Matt Albers has been good, and I would put him in the group of guys you can really count on. Guerra's been good at times. Claudio's been good at times. But there's not the certainty that they had to have three or four really, really sure options out of that pen. This year they kind of have one. And it is taking a toll, I think, on everybody. And it's taking a toll on – it's probably part of the Josh Hader story. You know, why is he missing his spots is a fair question. You know, fatigue is one thing you think about. And sometimes a guy doesn't feel tired, but he's just carried this heavy load now for 2 years. I think it's fair to question whether just that is part of the story of why he's not putting that fastball where he wants to. Because if you look at the homers he's given up lately, it's almost always a fastball down in the zone. And we always used to think pitchers wanted to keep the ball down. Well, that's no more. Now they want the ball up, up, up. And when he is up, it's really tough to hit. But it's been down in the zone, and a good major league hitter that knows a fastball is coming, as you guys said, they can hit that out of the ballpark, and that's what they're doing right now.
I think it's the equivalent of your quarterback throwing an interception. It's going to happen every now and then, but it's not going to kill your long term, so I'm okay with it. I want to talk about something I'm excited about, and that's Trent Grisham. I mean, I didn't know nothing about this kid, Adam. I mean, I was reading your story on Brewers.com. It's amazing. I also want you to touch a little bit on Ray Black. These are people that Brewer fans may not know a lot of, but may play a big part if they're going to try to get from 1.5 games back to first place.
Well, look, I mean, Grisham is really important right now because Lorenzo Cain continues to have just a bad year. And I think the difference that you saw in this, at least this last couple of games against the Twins, is the frustration of that showing out there on the field for everybody to see, where he's chucking his helmet, he's chucking his bat. He is really, really mad at himself about the offensive season that he's having. It is way below his standards. He thinks he has a lot of baseball left in him, and this is not the kind of player he wants to be, especially after being such a good on-base player for the Brewers last season, and a huge part of Christian Yelich being as good as he was last season. And Kane has not been that igniter. So here comes Trent Grisham, and they're using him in the leadoff spot. He's got the tools for that. They're using him in center field. He can play anywhere in the outfield. And he's given a little jolt with the bat. And I think him and Keston Hira, the way Council put it yesterday, is, you know, sometimes the rookies can give you a little bounce. And certainly those two guys are doing it right now. They're hitting what yesterday was leadoff and cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
They're just playing prominent roles for this team right now. And you know, I said at the end of yesterday's press conference, I said, you know, could we see Grisham take some time from Lorenzo Cain? And the way Council put it is they've already done that a little bit. You know, they've tried to give Lorenzo Cain a couple of days to sort of clear his mind, hit that reset, that mental reset button a little bit. And it hasn't happened for Lorenzo Cain yet. So Grisham becomes a really important player over the next couple of weeks because I expect we're going to see a fair amount of them. So it's somewhat tricky to get him in that lineup when you have Braun, Kane, and Yelich. But with Braun needing the days and with Kane just not performing, I think there's ways to get Grisham in there essentially every day. And let's see if Council does it over the next couple of weeks. And Ray Black is another guy without a lot of major league experience, but an interesting player, one of the trade deadline pickups when David Stearns kind of pivoted towards getting a lot of depth, throws really hard, wants to be a pitcher, not just a thrower, a guy who's overcome some really serious injuries, Tommy John coming out of high school, and then a bad shoulder injury just as he was getting going in the Giants minor league system. So he's 29, but he's missed so many years with injuries. I think it was 2 years with the shoulder and then obviously a full year with Tommy John. So, you know, he's kind of like a 25, 26-year-old
right.
in terms of experience in the game. And if he can figure out command, he's definitely a guy that can help him. And, look, we've talked about this bullpen. They need all the sure arms they can get. And if he can be a little guy to give him a jolt there in a short period of time, it would be very helpful.
I thought it was interesting you hear Counts say it yesterday, Adam, that they're expecting he could be a back-end guy on the flagship before the game yesterday. On assignment this weekend, Adam McKelvey. So he joins us on a Thursday instead of a Friday. Adam, appreciate it, man, and enjoy. And we'll talk after the road trip. And St. Louis, here we come. That's going to be a fun series coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, a bunch of St. Louis, bunch of cups coming up, so a really big stretch.
Adam McKelvey, appreciate it, brother. Have a good one.
All right, see you guys.
Adam McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.